Last week, more than 24 young people staged a sit-in at the state capitol to speak out against legislation aimed at conversion therapy. The protest over the controversial form of psychotherapy started with a tweet, and the lieutenant governor showed up. Then the governor issued an apology for supporting this revamped bill, which would have protected conversion therapists instead of shielding minors, as it was first proposed. Daisha Eaton spoke with 19-year-old Amelia DeMargin about how the sit-in came to be.
I just started tweeting. You know, as people my age do, I just kind of started saying, hey, were you lying when you said you cared? Or does this community only matter to you when we get you viral speeches? Are you actually going to stand for us? And so I went to work that day, got home, was getting ready actually to go to my other job. And then I thought, I need him to say something to me.
Him being Spencer Cox.
I hope this doesn't sound disrespectful to Lieutenant Governor speaking. Okay, so Spencer, this guy who 3 or 4 weeks ago reached out to me when I was talking about my mental health on Twitter, said my life was valuable. We talked. He invited me to the Capitol. He's always made a point to say that he cares about young people and especially that he cares about LGBTQ people. He's kind of become known for it. Now he's just going to let this happen. And I was kind of hurt. And my next job was actually in Salt Lake. It was a catering event. And so I thought, okay, maybe if I hurry, I'll stop by the office, deliver a letter, just kind of saying what I think. I'll go to work. And I sat down to type out the letter, and I was like, I don't think I can go to work today. I think I need to do something. And so I really hastily texted my boss. And then I got on Twitter again, and I said, I'm going to sit down at the Capitol outside the governor's office until I get an apology. And that's kind of how it started.
And you got the apology.
We did. When I saw Spencer Cox come out holding an like a little folder, I realized they were listening to an extent. And I looked at Spencer, and you know, there's that kind of human-to-human connection where you're both looking at each other and really seeing each other. And I think we were both kind of crying. And I went over to him and he whispered, I'm sorry. And then we sat down, you know, the whole group, and he started talking to us and read the apology.
So what do you want people to know about why you oppose conversion therapy?
I think whether or not you've experienced conversion therapy, its existence is kind of an affront to your existence. Because I think it implicitly implies that something about you is needing to be changed or that people think it needs to be changed.
How many people do you know who have undergone conversion therapy?
At least 10 that I know personally. But again, you don't know everyone that has. It's shocking.
You're one of the few women who I've seen out there on the front lines of this work here in Utah. What do you have to say about that?
You know, I was actually kind of surprised when I realized how male-dominated even, like, social justice movements are. And I love all of the men who came and sat with me. Do not get me wrong. They're great. Just awesome people. But I do think we need to see more women in these movements because I think there's issues surrounding LGBTQ rights. How they affect women is a little bit differently. So I think those voices are needed. I think we need more transgender voices. I think historically, a lot of the prominent activists, just even like nationally on these kind of issues, have been like cis white gay men. I think we do need to have more diversity within the movement of all kinds, race, sexuality, gender, you name it, we need it.
Is there anything else that you think is important to add or that you want to make sure that people understand?
I guess my main point, and it's kind of what I was saying at the protest and kind of said when I talked about the letter I received, is you really can't be an ally to a community in quiet, and you can't say you love someone if you are not respecting who they innately are. It's just kind of a harsh truth. And I think people want to play both sides, but you really can't. Something with, you know, the governor's letters, they said, you know, they love us precious youth, but when members of their own party make comments that are just downright homophobic, and which, by the way, I haven't seen a renouncement of, I think you need to condemn that rhetoric. I think at minimum, if you say our lives matter, maybe do something to protect us.